Slow dreaming. It's a show where we talk about the power of your mind
to change your world around you,
to literally affect
the fabric of your reality.
We talk about this feeling of hope
and joy
and relief. And that is what being aware of your flow does. It gives you a feeling of power again in your lives.
And that is what being aware of your flow does. It gives you a feeling of power again in your lives. Breathe.
It is the feeling that you bring forward. It is your emotional connection that really sets the tone for what is going to be happening to you and for you. And you know that feeling when you touch it. It just spreads through you. I'm Summer McStravick, and welcome to another episode of Flow Dreaming. Hi, it's Summer, and a quick request before we jump into the show. If you like this podcast, the number one reason Flow Dreaming has grown is because of your reviews. People rely on your opinion, and frankly, they often misunderstand Flow Dreaming. The only way to correct that is through you leaving a few words about the program. So pop over to iTunes or your podcast app and write a review. It means so much to me when you do. Now, on to the show. Hey everyone, welcome. I'm Summer McStravick, and today we are going to be delving into the mind, the character, the feelings, the responses of an empath. An empath, otherwise known as a psychic, as an intuitive, as someone who has spidey senses. And maybe you'll recognize yourself as we progress through today's episode. So before we jump into that, the biggest, big thing going down at flowdreaming.com. Flow Dreaming is the website, my website. It actually sponsors this podcast. It's been making it free for everyone for the last 11 years. The big thing happening is that I am, for the very first time, putting on an event that I'm inviting everyone, anyone really in the whole world, to come to. It's happening in February 2017 in San Diego. If you're listening to this podcast as a replay, as an encore, digging deep in the archives, let's say it's already 2020, who knows? I still encourage you to go to the website because it's my intention to have more than one of these events. So do check it out. 3 days deep diving into your flow, into your alignment, into your year, into your future, into your co-creating, into your manifesting. The idea is to move you out of any space you're in that is no longer working for you. Get you totally aligned and on target in your future, right? With your flow, with that path of grace and goodness and ease. I mean, isn't it time to have a little more ease in your life? That was a big thing in my life when I came to that realization. I know, such a silly seeming realization, but really it was, you know what? I think it's time for me to deserve ease in my life. Like, I should just be enjoying a lot more. I shouldn't be working so hard anymore. I should be starting to receive the rewards of my life. And it was like a bing flashlight, you know, or light bulb going off in my head the day I realized that. Like, why am I not choosing toward that? Why am I still choosing toward hard work as if that hard work never ends? As if I can never reach that point of ease? As if that point of ease will happen, I don't know, when? When you're retired? When you finally get your Social Security? I mean, what? If you think about it, you might have that same kind of nebulous point in your life. Will it all get easy then? And my question to you is, well, why not start having that be now? What's the resistance to that? What's the disbelief to that? Anyway, that's just one of many subjects we'll be covering in Inflow as we take that 3-day journey together. It's an experiential journey. So I invite you all to come check it out. Can't wait to meet you. All right. So empaths, what is that? Who are they? What does that mean? Well, over the, decades, over hundreds of years, over thousands of years, really, if you go back, there have always been people that societies acknowledge have a little extra sense, an extra awareness, an extra ability. And depending on the culture and depending on the era, they have named them accordingly. They've named them witches or witch doctors or high priestesses or priests. They've named them shamans. They've named them oracles. They've named them psychics, all kinds of names, right? The Aborigines who go into dream time. It's universal, this sense. Every culture, every era has had, whether it's been accepted into the mainstream or such as some of the priests and nuns, for instance, in the medieval ages who believed to have had a direct conversation with God, or it's been marginalized. Those people who were burned at the stake for having that same direct conversation with God. So as we look into what it means to be psychic or intuitive, I want you to just, first of all, completely open your mind, right? Just drop, let go of any dogma, of any preconceived ideas. I want you to explore a new way of looking at this. The only way you can do that is if you just let go of everything you already know about it. You're welcome to come back at the end of this episode and, you know, pick up all of your prior beliefs and just keep running with them. But if you can just be a blank canvas for a moment, you might discover some things that otherwise you were not able to hear before. So, from the perspective of flow, we will be talking about what an empath is. Now, flow and flow dreaming, of course, is a worldview. It's a philosophy. It's a way of believing and thinking about your life, about how you navigate through it, how you integrate yourself with higher powers, whether you call that God or source or the creative mind, the universal mind, the collective unconscious. You don't even have to believe in an afterlife to believe that there is a net of universal consciousness that somehow links humanity together. Or links humanity and Earth, Gaia, together, right? It all works. No matter what your feelings are, it works as long as you have this understanding that there is a net of universal awareness. This net is flow. And flow is not something that is stuck in time, stuck in space, never changing. Flow is on the move, right? We are in the arrow of time, as the physicists like to point out to us. They actually call it the arrow of time. It is directional. It is expansive. It only goes in one direction. It flows like a stream. It flows like a jet stream. It flows like the earth spinning around the sun, same direction. The seasons changing our lives as we move from birth to middle age to death. Right? That circle of life, that's the arrow of time. And that for us is also our flow, but we don't know when we're going to reach the end of our circle, right? We are still evolving consciousnesses, evolving consciousnesses. That is what we do every day. It's the most basic primal directive we have been given other than survive. Survive and then evolve. Or maybe survive, procreate, and evolve. But I think procreate goes in with survival, right? Survive and evolve. And how are we evolving? Every moment, every second of time that ticks by, you're acquiring new bits of information, right? It's flowing into you. My voice is flowing into you right now. Whatever you've been looking at or staring at visually is flowing into you. Whatever thoughts and connections are percolating through your mind, that's flowing into you right now. You are adding to the sum total of yourself as you move through all of these increments of time. And recall as well, time does not stop when your so-called body life stops, right? If you can also extend this idea that perhaps you continue on, your consciousness is both in your body and outside of your body. So when the body stops going, the consciousness still remains aware and intact. The consciousness, which is storing this evolution, right? Evolving you not just as an individual, but as a species, as a human conscious culture, extra human conscious. I don't know how big it goes. So this is the foundation when we start talking about what is an empath. And you're like, whoa, that's a big foundation. It is. But it also makes it incredibly simple. What it means is that we were born with this built-in gift to continuously interact with this source of information, What's the source of information? All that is. All those little tiny micro bits of information you are putting into your flow, that your neighbor is putting into their flow. All of those micro bits of information that a city is putting into its flow, that a country is putting into its flow being its movement forward through time as it continues to gather information about itself. Okay? These are flows. Sometimes I envision them like ribbons flying out through space. Everyone having this beautiful, gorgeous ribbon. Whole cultures having ribbons. Planets having ribbons. Every tree and rock having a ribbon. Every computer game having a ribbon. Every man-made thing having a ribbon. Everything having a ribbon of itself through its life cycle. And remember, everything gets reincarnated essentially into the next version of itself. Someday that pencil that I threw into a landfill, well, it came from a tree that became a pencil. It's now back in the landfill. It's turning back into dirt. That dirt's going to regrow into a tree. It is all still collecting in that flow of information. It's mind-boggling. This means you have a connection to this information. It's not something you have to figure out how to get. It's already there because you're already doing it. You're already participating in this every time you have an experience. So what does an empath do? What does a psychic do? You simply have an awareness. I'm creating information, and the information that I'm creating is readable. It's accessible. Not only am I experiencing things and shoving it into the data bank, but anytime I need to look up something in the data bank, I can Google it. Right? I mean, it's no mistake, it's no accident that we've created these worldwide systems now that emulate this very process. Right? We create data, we store it in a net of information, and then we can pull information out of it, right? Every time we're looking up a search term on the internet. Right? This is a small, representation of the entire bigger net of flow. You guys get it? Of course we made this because we're already doing this. This wasn't thought up out of the blue, some novel concept. This is a diminutive version of something we're already participating in as a culture, as a species, as humanity, as Earth, as part of perhaps a constellation of intelligences that span the universe. Who knows? Okay, you guys getting this? As empaths, you are connected to this information and you can read any of this stored data anytime you want. So the next question is, how are you doing it? How does it happen? Okay, Summer, I'm buying this so far. How does that happen? Well, I like to think that every day there is a part of us that's like an email server. Right? We're getting bits of information. We're sending bits of information. Well, what's happening in the background with your phone or your computer is it's connecting into the server, just kind of happening in the background. Anything new? Anything new? Anything good I should be aware of? Anything happening? We're built in the same way. We are constantly connecting into our flow, constantly connecting into the big, vast data bank. Every time we meet another individual human, we have the ability to connect into their flow. Anything I need to know? Anything special I need to read about you? Any email that you're sending me? Anything that you're flashing out to the universe that I should be aware of? And by things flashing, I mean things you're not speaking or not giving out through body language or signals, right? What's that extra layer? What's the data layer of you that you have been moving through and expressing? It is there as readable as the expressions on their face, as the biochemical signals that their body is giving out, it's there as well. So as an empath, we are all gifted with the ability to read that information. Read that information. So I'm going to draw it down and just continue to use that example of the individual. When I meet another individual, what am I getting from them? What am I picking up from them? Why do you call it empath, right? Why is there that word? Empathic refers to the ability to have empathy with another human being, right? That's it in straight psychological terms. I have empathy with another human being. Now, let's keep empathy separate from some of the other forms that are closely related. For instance, sympathy. Sympathy usually means, oh, I feel for you. I feel bad for you. You're in pain, so I will be in pain with you. Got it? It's a subtle variation. What about pity? Pity is also, I feel what you're going through, and I feel sad for you. I feel helpless for you. I feel like I wish you could do better, but you can't. Again, a subtle variation on sympathy. Empathy is just the plain, unjudgmental, unbiased feeling of the old saying, walking in another's moccasins. I experience what you experience. It's even been scientifically proven over and over in the social sciences. I didn't actually prepare any specific data that I could tell you, but if you can, you can Google this afterwards and find it yourself. When a person is watching another human being or animal, for instance, and some people it's even watching a tree being cut down, but when you're watching another organism feel pain, the same pain receptors in your own mind will light up in empathy. It's an empathic, empathetic response. You're watching pain. You can have the same exact pain reactors fire up in your own body. This is why if you watch someone else in pain, do you feel sometimes like your heart is caving in? It really is. You are experiencing the same pain, even though you're not having that person's experience. This is built in, obviously, as a kind of biological safety for us. If a member of our tribe is being hurt, we're being urged, help that person, help that member of the tribe, keep the tribe strong and living. Right? So it makes sense at a very fundamental level. Yet also, remember how I said we're always collecting this data, this information, that other layer, the flow layer? So when someone is experiencing something, maybe it's not a pain thing. Maybe it's just them and their whole life. Maybe they're just depressed and miserable. Maybe they're ecstatic and joyful. They're getting married next week and it's the best week of their life. You encounter that person. You are going to empathically read that person. You are going to pick up on them. That is the email that they are expressing in their flow. I'm ecstatic. I'm getting married next week. I just had my first grandchild. I am just over the moon with joy. I feel like something has completed full circle in my life. Like I did good. I did good. You encounter that energy in someone, what happens in you? Boom, your pleasure center fires up. You're empathically, sympathetically connecting with them, reading that. They feel good, you feel good. And you can think of countless small experiences where you've had this. Your friend shows up at your house, they're in a great mood. And suddenly you're like feeling so much better. Why is that happening? You know, is it just because they're smiling and sending out the right pheromones? It's more than that. You're picking up on every single level. Remember, nature, God, source imbued you with all of these levels of connection, and you're using them all the time. Your empathic ability is always on. It is always receiving. Now, here's the thing. In our culture, we're not taught about this empathic ability. We are not taught that it's anything special. We're taught, in fact, that only some people have woo-woo ESP in some special sense and, you know, then they're the rarity. I'd like you to just open your mind to the moment. Some people, yes, are gifted with a kind of broad, open connection right from the get-go, right? I mean, they just have a, you know, if you're talking like a, you know, how fast does data hit your internet in your house, right? I've got the ultimate speed that I can afford. You know, I've got like tons of data hitting my house because I work from home. Maybe someone else has, I live way out in the country and all I can get is like a modem dial-up. It's still hanging out at, you know, 14.4. Does anybody even know what that means anymore? Used to be a really, really slow way of receiving information over the internet, right? They're getting a little tiny bit. Think of you and think of everyone you know as kind of being in a similar circumstance. Some people are just born with that incredibly fast connection speed. Some people are born with a slower speed. Some people are born with a slower speed and they upgrade over the course of their life as they become more and more aware of this. The connection is there though. Okay, so some of you, how do you know that you have maybe a faster connection speed? How do you know? When? What does it feel like? What are the signs? What are the signals? Well, a lot of the time, an empath is someone who is overloaded and bombarded because they don't know that it's actually happening, right? It's kind of like if you have all of the windows in your house open all the time. Nobody ever told you you could close them. So when it snows, it gets freezing inside. You're very uncomfortable. It's wet and soggy. In the summertime, it's so hot. The flies are buzzing all through the house. There is no screens. You never knew you could close the windows. This is what I would call somebody who's deeply empathic, who has no knowledge of it. They don't know how to put any filters on. The result is that they have a whole series of symptoms happen for them. They easily get overloaded and overwhelmed even during the course of a single day, right? So yesterday, my son competed in a robotics competition. And what this meant was, and he's 10, so it was a bunch of 10 to 13-year-old kids in a gymnasium from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And all of their parents, there were maybe 500 people, 250 of them screaming, little boys and some little girls too. Me, as an empath, I'm suddenly getting a lot of information because remember, I'm on high-speed internet. So it's just hitting me, bam, 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 bam. A couple hours in, I'm like, I'm done, man. I'm loaded. I'm good for the day. Like I've met my maximum quota of information intake. I am feeling everything these kids are feeling. They're excited. The parents are freaking out and upset and they're trying to keep the kids in order. And there's one mom who's yelling at her team outside how they're being disrespectful and all the kids are caving in. And then there's another team and all the kids are crazy excited and and I'm just kind of flowing through this, walking through this. As an empath, I know, hey, Summer, you can shut your windows. How do I do that? Well, I have tons of strategies. I walk outside. I spend time in the sun. I excuse myself. I close my eyes. I take deep breaths. I drink water. I become consciously aware that I can shut that down, close off the stimulation. You cut off the visual stimulation. You cut off the auditory stimulation. That cuts off a lot. In fact, I was recently listening to a podcast given by a blind person who was a blind professor. I wish I could recall it. But he was stating that visual input can take up 2/3 of your brain's processing power at any given time. Just by closing your eyes, you can cut down the amount of information coming through. So all of your senses, not just your spidey sense, not just your empathic sense, all of your senses, you have to know when to ratchet it down, close up, so you can let go of some of that information and refresh yourself, right? Refresh, like shutting your computer down and rebooting it. Why do we do that? Because all these old programs get caught in the background, right? And they start running and hogging up space and taking up stuff you don't even know is there until pretty soon you get the little spinny disk of death and you're like, oh, I got to restart and refresh it all. Empaths, we have to do that a lot in situations that are really full of information, full of people, full of noise, full of activity, full of emotion, right? Maybe you're in a quiet surrounding. Maybe you've been spending all day at hospice or at the hospital with your family and you're meeting other families and they're going through heartbreak and they're going through difficulty. And you leave at the end of the day knowing I only encountered like 15 people all day, but I just feel so heavy. I am like a sponge that has been filled with water all day and it's a gray, drippy, icky sink water. I got to squeeze that out. Okay, this is an empath who is always on. And there are ways to release it. Unfortunately, I can't really go through this in this one podcast. My intention is really just to make you aware of who and what you are and let you know there are solutions. There are ways for you to overcome this. In Me School, actually, I spend months teaching and developing this in my class, as well as ways to protect themselves. In fact, I don't even call it protection because it assumes that there are harmful, bad things out there. If you listen to the podcast I have coming up called The Truth About Alignment, you'll understand my theories on protection. Anyway, As empaths, we get overloaded quite easily. There are other people, though, remember, who are at the 14-4 modem. They're receiving far less. They can travel through Disneyland for 12 hours and they feel fabulous. They haven't met their quota yet. They are just taking in a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here. And they haven't overloaded. And that's wonderful. There is no problem with that. It's just a difference in how we are built and what the setup is when we come in, as well as the work that we have done in ourselves to open or close this. Some people came in very open, realized, I have to shut this down. It's extremely dangerous. I often see that children who come from homes where there's been abuse, where there's been alcoholism, who've had trauma in their childhoods, where they've had to grow up very quickly, they often are extreme empaths because, one, they're using it as a survival technique, you know, getting that little extra jump on how mom is feeling or how dad is coming home from work helps them know if they're going to have a good night or a bad night in their house, right? So they're already queuing up this skill. And then it just grows and grows. And then they get hypersensitive. Does my boyfriend really love me? I got this one signal. I got another one and I don't know. And he's confused. So I'm confused. And on and on and on it goes. That's an empath. Now, the last thing I want to say is, what actual information are you receiving? Through what sense is it coming in for you? So, in fact, this month I was teaching both Me School and Personal Mastery. Personal Mastery is my second and third year students. I was teaching them about this very thing, right? How do you receive the information? Well, we've got our five senses. The sixth sense I'd like to propose to you is emotion, right? Emotion. So if we look at all of this data that we're receiving, it's going to travel in through these six senses. Now, as empaths, I call it empathic primarily because for me, I receive emotional data first and foremost. There is an emotion. It is big, right? If you even just think about it logically, let's say an event happens. Say an event happens. Something, I don't want to make it too tragic. I'm trying to think of something kind of good. Okay, you just got a raise and a promotion at work, and you're coming home to tell your partner, right? You're feeling really good. Now, on the one hand, there's the intellectual response. I got a raise. I feel good. What's the bigger thing, though? Your heart is leaping up and happy. You're already like pitter-patting with all the things I can do with this new money, and I got prestige and I got recognition, and finally they recognize me for all the hard work that I've been doing, and now everybody in my company knows, and I feel so good about myself. Where is, if you had to split this event up, you know, in percentages, maybe 20% is the intellectual awareness. Click, yes, I know that happened. I got it. 80% is what you're feeling about it. Because imagine if you got that raise, that promotion, and you had zero emotional response. It was just, oh, oh, not good, not bad, oh. Who has that? All of us have an emotional response. That is the 80% of the data that's now being fired off into the flow, the emotional response. Therefore, as empaths, when we're reading the data, 80% of it that I'm reading is the emotion. 20% of it is the actual facts, the actual what happened. If you've ever been curious why sometimes psychics have a really hard time telling you exactly what happened and, you know, where are those misplaced keys? Well, I don't know. Is there any emotion around those misplaced keys? Probably not, because whoever misplaced them wasn't thinking about them. They had no feeling about them. So they're on a hunt with only maybe 20%, you know, chance of finding them. Because there's some part of the brain that probably looped in where you left them, but that brain part wasn't even turned on. So maybe now it's a 5% part of that person actually had any awareness of where they stuck those keys. If the person laid down those keys, though, feeling like, oh my God, oh, I'm going to leave these keys here. Oh, whoa, right? Then you could pick up on where those keys were. because the emotion is there. So the emotion is the first thing that empaths pick up, and we feel it in our bodies. We feel weird, we feel off, we feel excited, we feel happy. Half the time, we don't even know it's someone else's emotion we're picking up. We just think it's something going on inside of us. You guys ever have that happen? You know, suddenly you're feeling a way and you're like, I don't know why I'm feeling this way. I didn't feel this way 20 minutes ago, but now I do. Or, you know, your kids are fighting in the house and suddenly you're just, you're so angry yourself. And part of it is you're angry that your kids are fighting and it's disturbing you and you don't like it. But partly it's the kids' anger at each other. You're absorbing it because you're a parent and you're totally attuned to these kids day in and day out. You are emotionally, empathically connected to them for their survival. So of course you pick up on their anger and feel it too. You don't even know if it's yours or theirs. It's both. It's both. Now, what about the other senses? So sometimes what happens is those emotions will filter in through other senses, particularly if you're trying to use your empathic sense to gain some extra advantage or knowledge. Now, this is what I specialize. I teach people. How do you use this empathic sense, not just to be receiving what's going on around you right now and to differentiate, is it someone else's? Is it mine? What's happening? But for instance, how do I find those keys? Or more specifically, or more true to an example, my neighbor across the street hasn't spoken to me for 2 weeks. Are they just busy or did I do something to upset them? I don't know. I would like to talk with them, but I'd like to have a little heads up before I do. I'd like to pick up on them empathically. So then I'm going to use some of my processes, my techniques, to go in and ask them, empathically connect to them, say, hey, is everything cool? Everything good? And then I might start receiving not just emotional data from them, but my emotional self is going to filter that through the interpretation of my other senses. I might hear information in my ear. I might hear a few words. My vision might pop up and show me flashes of things that are important or pertinent to my question. I might suddenly smell something like, oh yeah, I remember when they cut down the tree a few weeks ago and I smelled those wood chips. Ooh, is this part of the information that's being stored in this event? So you see, all of those classic psychics who say, well, I'm clairvoyant or I'm clairaudient or, you know, I'm kinesthetic and I can read if you hand the ring to me and I can hold it in my hand and tell you everything. They're just filtering information through their other senses. And some really good empaths are able to use multiple senses. They're like, I don't know how I got it. Some of, you know, for me, you know, as I was explaining to my class last week, I often use proximity, right? I can feel things actually close to my body. If they are urgent, it feels like they're up against my skin because I'm getting a tactile read on an empathic interpretation of flow. So if this is, you're like, whoa, you had me, now you lost me. It's because I'm jamming in like a lot of overview big teachings into a half hour of information. My whole point is to open your mind. You may be one of these people who isn't born empath. You may have developed this skill over your life as a result of certain events, or you may be somebody who shut down this skill at a certain point in your life because it was too painful, right? You didn't know how to handle it, so you just turned the whole thing off. Or you might have come in as somebody who doesn't have a whole lot of this skill. You're curious and you would like to expand it. Right? I don't look at life as playing favorites like, oh, the empaths are so much more awesome. Not at all. There are reasons for all of us to be born the way that we're born, to be opened or closed or whatever it may be. You may have an amazing intellect and your emotional senses are shut down a bit so that you can fully express your intellect without emotional interference. Okay? No right or wrong. Flow is all about non-judgment. We are not judgy people at all. In fact, the more empathically aware you become, the more compassionate you become. Right? I have looked in hundreds, if not thousands, of people's minds. I have looked in people who have done really hideous things, things that I don't even want to like record. I don't want to say aloud. And yet when I go in their mind, I understand exactly what happened inside them that led them to do that. That's really profound. I see the lead up. I see where they were hurt or twisted or betrayed or somehow warped. I see it. And the response is compassion, sometimes pity, but above all, compassion. True empaths are the most compassionate people in the world, right? Because we really have felt other people's feelings so much over and over. What does this compassion do? I feel it actually makes us better citizens. It makes us better team members and better tribe members. Because I'm not just thinking about me. I'm thinking, what will this do for Harry, Joe, Sam, everybody else in my neighborhood, everybody else in my city, everybody else in my country? What will this do for them? Is this going to expand them and increase opportunities for them? Or is it going to pull away opportunities, diminish what they're allowed to have or be or do? Because I may be going inside their mind at some point in the future and experiencing a result of one of my own actions. You get it? So this is like ultimate social responsibility when you're like this, right? And I firmly believe you chose this, if that's the case. And if you chose it, own it. It is a gift. It's a gift to yourself. It's a gift to your society. It's a gift to your community, your tribe. Own it. Don't hide it. Don't be afraid. So many empaths I know are walking around afraid to say to other people, I feel this. I feel this. They don't want to come across as judgy. Fine. Don't be judgy. You can still say, I feel today like you could use some, you know, a helping hand, or I just want to tell you how lovely and beautiful you are, right? You could say that to someone instead of, you look like you got bad sleep and you look super depressed, right? You're still picking up. Just say it in such a way that you're using your gift. That's what you're here for, right? You were given this to do this. Don't be stingy with it. Don't hold back. Learn the difference. The more you do it over time, you know, a question I get a lot is, you know, if I know these things, should I tell the person? Well, you've got to learn that. That's part of being wise. If you know something and it's something scary and bad, please don't tell me. I actually don't want to hear that, because you're going to provoke fear in me. And if I'm not really educated in all of this, you're going to provoke doubt in me that I can handle it. I'll start to think it's an inevitability and I'm doomed. And now you've just freaked me out and you've actually added to my flow that it will actually happen for me, because now I'm even aligning stronger to that. If I ever see something that's not so good, I nudge somebody in the other direction. I go, here is where you actually need to go. And now they're starting to align on that path, and the chance that that bad thing will happen is now suddenly diminishing. Again, more advanced concepts. So we're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do a brief little flow for all of you empaths out there to get you cleaned up, psyched up, ready to use this gorgeous gift of yours. So stay with me. It's summer, and while we're on break, have you checked out Me School? In Me School, we travel together over a year through everything that you are. You get to discover what drives you, how you're made, and how powerful you actually are. We play with intuition and flow dreaming, and you get to see exactly how you're continually co-creating your future. Aren't you curious what you're doing? I ask you to bring two big goals to the table, and you reach them using tools you've probably never been exposed to before. If you're curious, go to flowdreaming.com and click on Me School. Set up a call, and either I or one of my team will help you see exactly what you can do with your life. And if you choose to join Me School, well, then I look forward to spending this year with you live as we work together to create miracles. All right, you ready? Let's drop into flow for a little bit. Sometimes I brief you on what this is, what the process is, but this time I'm not going to. All I'm going to say is it's not meditation or hypnosis. And I'd like you to go check out flowdreaming.com and you can get an explanation of what this process actually is. Okay? Close your eyes with me. Relax. Take a nice deep breath and release it. And as you release, feel your abdomen expand, your shoulders are dropping, your jaw is releasing. Roll your neck and release the tension between your eyes, dropping into flow, dropping into that super highway. That super highway of information. Can you see that highway? Go ahead and imagine it. What does it look like? What does it feel like? Is it kind of like that movie Tron, where you had those lit up highways of light? Or are you standing in a vast field that just goes on and on and on? As far as your eye can see, the wind gently ruffling your hair. This is your personal information highway, your flow. Only you, distinctly you. And if you look off to the sides, you can see information you've brought in on either side, information of things happening. Whether events that have been flowing through your day, people connecting with you, speaking with you, having encounters with you. You're noticing this flowing, shifting landscape of events on either side of you, information you're collecting, bringing it in. Some of that information have come from other people. They've come into your life and they've been carrying a whole load of their own information, their own emotion, their own feelings, wants, needs, beliefs, judgments, hopes, fears, emotional states. And you've encountered those. Some of those you've brought into your life, your existence right now. You've held on to them. You've received them, accepted them, and said, thank you. I feel that you're feeling this now. I'm feeling this too. Look back through the hours of your day right now. Whether the day has just begun or it's the end of the day, doesn't matter. The last 24 hours. Is there any emotion or information, any content inside of you that you've taken from someone else that you wish to release? You don't need to keep, you don't need to hold on to. It actually belongs to them. It was their upset. It was their unhappiness. Whatever it may be, it was their hope or dream, their fear. Feel yourself wrapping your thoughts, your emotions, your awareness around these emotions that you picked up and you took from them. You shared with them. Feel you giving it back, gifting it back. Here you go. Thank you for loaning it to me. That was lovely. Now it's yours again. I'm done with it. I'm a good person. I always give back those things that I've borrowed. This actually belongs to you. Do you see yourself? Can you feel yourself gifting it back? It's like it's held in your hands, whatever it may look like. Offer it back. And if they say, no, thank you, I don't want it, say, well, then I will just put it down over here. You can have it over there. It's no longer part of me. I don't wish to carry it anymore. I don't need to carry it anymore. It doesn't belong to me. It's not mine. And now you gently let it go. You take a deep breath and you exhale it out. You exhale it out of your body. You exhale it out of your heart. You exhale it out of your abdomen. You exhale it out through your fingertips. It is all gone and out of you now. All that's left is the intellectual memory or knowledge of it. The 20%, oh, that's right, I recall that. But I don't feel any emotion around it. I don't hold it. Now notice how you're feeling. Check into your abdomen, your heart, your solar plexus, all of your energy junctions. Are you feeling a bit lighter? Are you feeling as if something has lifted? Do you have a tiny bit more space inside you? Do you have a huge amount of space inside of you? How much did you just release? How much new space did you open in you? Feel it. And now feel the joy and happiness around that. How beautiful, you just got some space back. How lovely. Oh, feeling good. Now you're feeling extra good because you're feeling so good about what you just did. Up, up, up goes your mood. Up, up, up goes your emotion. Oh, Flo, thank you. I'm so lucky. So lucky that I know how to do this, that I've learned this, that I've stumbled across this, that I can do this. Thank you. I really look forward to getting to know me and my skills and abilities so much more in the days and weeks ahead. And now that you've communicated that, it's time to return from your flow. Coming back. Feeling your body again. And now open your eyes. Return from flow. Beautiful. Hope you enjoyed that. I want to give those of you who want to follow up, kind of get deeper with this, a suggestion. At flowdreaming.com, I put together playlists. Playlists are groups of MP3s, audio files. They're called Flow Dreams. And I group them together based on, I don't know, endpoints, desires that I have for you and your growth. One of those desires I have is for you to open and expand your empathic intuition. That is why I actually have a playlist called Open and Expand Your Empathic Intuition. Awaken Your Empathic Intuition. So I encourage you to go to flowdreaming.com, go to the shop, and then use the search function. Look up empathic intuition, and a whole bunch of flow dreams and playlists will come up that you can use, you can practice daily, that will help you get a handle on this so that you can become a really powerful, effective, clear, aware empath in your life, and so you can be of service to those people around you. Okay, I love all of you, and I really look forward to talking with you again next week for the next episode of Flow Dreaming. That's a wrap for today. But if you want to keep things going, then download my free Flow Dreaming apps. That's right, there's two of them. The first app allows you to listen to this podcast anywhere you want on your mobile device, as well as search and favorite episodes. The other app hooks you up with my manifesting store, which includes an oracle to help you see what direction you most are in need of right now and advice. You can also sample all kinds of flow dreams and put together a library of your own. So to find these apps, just search Flow Dreaming in iTunes or on your Google App Store.